He sees people who are sinking in the sea of sin. He sees people who are going under the sea of sin, that they are going to hell quicker than quick, and God sends lifeboats to rescue them. Now, we can shout, and we can say, praise the Lord, and we can say amen, until we come to the realization. Now, watch this now. Oh, somebody watch this now. Until we come to the realization that we are the lifeboat. That we are the lifeboat.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of the gift of evangelism from Psalm 1. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm chapter 1, and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the gift of evangelism.
Led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb dumb before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Today, as we come, I thought I had finished the series on spiritual gifts, but I failed to deal with the gift of evangelism. And so we're going to look at this gift of evangelism today, and especially in the life of Philip, who was one of the great evangelists of the early church. As we reflect back, and I've seen commercials on television lately about the Titanic, and how that they have certain artifacts from the Titanic on display. If we were to go back and read accounts surrounding the Titanic, we would see that there are multiple accounts of survivors who survived that great shipwreck and would live to tell about it. One of the such stories comes from a survivor by the name of Eva Hart. And she tells about how that there were 20 lifeboats that were cast into the water as the Titanic began to sink. Most of these passengers on these boats were filled first with the women and the children as the Titanic slipped down below the surface of the Atlantic, the icy Atlantic Ocean. All the lifeboats were far away, and they got as far away as they could from the Titanic. One of the reasons that they did, because they were commanded by the leaders on these lifeboats to just get away from the ship. But there was one lifeboat out of these 20, lifeboat number 14. And lifeboat number 14, as the Titanic around 2:20 a.m. in the morning began to slip away under the icy Atlantic, came back and heard the cries of people who were in the ocean and tried to gather up as many as they could that were still alive as the boat went down. Now, keep in mind that there were 20 lifeboats that were let down, and only one came back. One of the reasons that the other 19 didn't come back and they stayed away is because they feared that people who were swimming in the water trying to survive would reach up and grab onto the lifeboat, or that too many people would get on the lifeboat and it would capsize and tip over, eventually causing the people on the boat to drown. And so they stayed away. Number 14 came back. rescued many people. And as I think about our story today, and I relate it to the sinking of the Titanic, isn't God good? He sees people who are sinking in the sea of sin. He sees people who are going under the sea of sin, that they are going to hell quicker than quick, and God sends lifeboats to rescue them. Now, we can shout, and we can say, praise the Lord, and we can say amen until we come to the realization. Now, watch this now. Oh, somebody watch this now. Until we come to the realization that we are the lifeboats, that we are the lifeboats. And sad to say, many of us, for fear of getting too close to those who are sinking, that we keep a safe distance and we stay away. And as we look at Philip today, thank God that Philip was not one who stayed back from the lifeboats, but he was one that, as the scripture said on two occasions, on the first occasion, it said that he was caught up in the Spirit and that he was led by the Spirit. And then one occasion it said that the angel of the Lord led him. He was a man that was yielded to God. And as I think about this gift of evangelism, that there are some people who actually have the gift of evangelism, that they have this uncanny ability to be able to go and sit down and share the gospel with people and lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. St. Francis of Assisi put it like this, and you've probably heard this before, but I love it. He said, preach the gospel by any means, use words if necessary. Preach the gospel by many means, use words if necessary. What was he saying? He's saying that first and foremost, our lives must be a testimony to the power of Christ and the ability to live this life. That people have to look at us and they have to see Christ in us. They have to see the love of God in us. Preach the gospel by any means and use words if necessary. Philip was a man of God. If we had time this morning, we could read back in the book of Acts and find where he was a man that was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. We can go back and read that he was elected as one of the first deacons in the early church. And he was a man that lived this gospel. But not only did he live the gospel, but he also preached the gospel. And as I think about people in the body of Christ, that there are some people here today that they just love to share the good news of Christ with others. Somebody said, what is the gospel? The gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's what some people love to do. They love to tell other people about Jesus Christ. You know, I thank the Lord that I had the opportunity Dwight White was a friend of mine. And he was an individual that worked out at the same health club that I worked out at. And we talked on many occasions. And Elsie and I, you know, we prayed for Dwight. And I had the opportunity to talk to Dwight about 3 weeks ago. And Dwight had just come back from, his father had died. And he went down also because Ernie Holmes had died. And he went down for the funeral of his father and Ernie Holmes. And Dwight was sharing with me that experience. And Dwight began to tell me how that Ernie was one that, I guess, just lived a hard life. And then Ernie Holmes got saved and gave his heart to God and became a preacher. And Dwight was sharing with me how that began to affect him and how that he began his search for God. And Dwight began to share with me how that he found that peace through Jesus Christ with God. 3 weeks ago, maybe it might have been, maybe about a month ago, Dwight was sharing that with me. And now, Dwight is gone. He's gone. But based upon his profession, he has gone to be with the Lord. And my brothers and sisters, what I'm saying If there's not somebody out there that's telling folks about the Savior, if there's not somebody out there that's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, when people leave this life and they go to either heaven or hell, that I believe that we will stand. And you know, I think of the many times that Dwight and I talked, and how that a lot of times our conversation was about business, was about politics, was about other things. But I'm finally glad to say that at some point, our conversations got around to spiritual matters. I remember Dwight used to tell me, he gave me, around Christmas time one year, Dwight gave me $100, and he said, look, I want you to put this in the church, and I want you to use it for something in the community. And then I would see Dwight, and Dwight would say, hey, Reb, throw one up for the old boy. And he was talking about prayer. And so he began to realize the value of spiritual things, and his heart began to seek those spiritual things. And once again, thank God that God gave me several opportunities to be able to share this with him. And I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that we need to realize that the only gospel that some people are going to see is you. You're the only gospel that they're going to see. Preach the gospel by all means necessary, and use words if possible. And Philip was one that used words. And so I want us to distinguish this morning between those who have the gift of evangelism. There are people that are sitting in this congregation today. They have the gift of evangelism. There are people sitting here today that if somebody has an unsaved loved one, they will call these individuals up and say, can you go witness to my loved one? And why do they call them? Why do they ask them to go witness to their loved one? They go ask them to witness because they know that there's some gift that they have. They have some ability to be able to go and share the gospel in a unique way, in a way that will penetrate and impact the heart of the person that they're praying for. But my brothers and sisters, let us not cast off this responsibility to only those with the gift of evangelism. Let us realize that the scripture comes to all of us, and the scripture says to all of us, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let us not forget the scripture that says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, making disciples of them, teaching in the name of the Father, the Son, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us not forget the scripture that says, you shall receive power after this, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. So, as we start today, I want to look specifically at those who have the gift of evangelism, but then I want to say that all of us are called to be evangelists. If you open your notes up this morning, you can follow along with me as I talk about people who have the gift of evangelism. Another story that comes out of the time of the Titanic is one of John Harper. And John Harper was an evangelist in Scotland. And he was going to Moody Church in Chicago to preach. And he was on the Titanic. And as the Titanic began to sink, John Harper in the water was sinking himself. And he just swam from person to person as long as he could. And he told them, believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And as John Harper sank under the chilly waters of the Atlantic, the last words that he said, believe on Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There was a reunion of the people that survived the Titanic. And one man stood up and he gave the testimony and he said that I had been saved twice that day. He said, first, I was saved from the sinking Titanic. And he said, secondly, that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I heard John Harper say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is a brother with the gift of evangelism. All the way to his watery grave, he shared with people the good news, and he cried out, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's the message. That's the message that we have as a church. You take that message away, we might as well close the doors and just become a nice little club. Us four, no more, and shut the door. That's the message. Those with the gift of evangelism proclaim that message. And as we look at our text today, we see that people with this gift, first of all, look for opportunities to share the gospel with others. Look at verse 26. "And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert." Look, the brother was sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And how many times has God told us to do something? How many times have God put an impression on our heart? Write a card to so-and-so. Give so-and-so a call. Pray for so-and-so. Well, you know what? That's just not something that you came up with on your own. If you are a Christian, God prompts our spirits. And if I was to ask the question, how many of you here have been prompted by something? How you have been moved by God to do something, and you didn't do it? Thank God that Philip was one that when he was moved by the Spirit, that he obeyed what the Spirit told him to do. In verse 27 says, "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to him." Man, Philip loved to share the good news. And if we go back and study history out, many church historians tell us that Africa was evangelized because of the Ethiopian eunuch, that the gospel was taken to Africa. Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity is a Johnny-come-lately in Africa. Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity didn't show up in Africa till the middle centuries or late. This brother right here was from, and many people identified the area of around the Sudan and in Lower Egypt, that this brother took the gospel. He got saved, and he took the gospel back to Africa, and that the church of Africa began to grow and began to blossom. Why? Because one man was obedient to God. One man was obedient to the Spirit of God. One man was obedient to the angel of the Lord. And he took the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch and led him to Christ. And the good news spread. How many people, when you're in heaven, and you know, as a songwriter said, I'm just going to walk around heaven all day. And as you're walking around heaven all day, how many people are going to come up to you and say, thank you for being obedient and sharing the gospel? Well, when did I share the gospel with you? Oh, you didn't share it with me. You shared it with so-and-so, and so-and-so shared it with me. And so indirectly, I'm here because of you. I think of the people that I've been able in my lifetime to lead to Christ. And I go back to one evening in a small church on the east side of Pittsburgh in Turtle Creek, where Pastor Berkeley, who I went to school with, who I played baseball and basketball and football with, how that we went out and we got high together. And he got saved. And he got a burden for all the people that he grew up with. And thank God that he came back. And I was one that he came back and reached. And Pastor Berkeley was instrumental in me coming to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I think about the people that I've led to the Lord. And one day they're going to go up to Pastor Berkeley, and they're going to say, thank you for being faithful. And Pastor Berkeley is going to say, I don't know who you are. And they're going to say, I'm a convert that Pastor Glaze led to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, there's a whole continent of people that are going to be thankful to Philip because he was faithful and he was obedient when he had opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People with this gift love to share the gospel with others. Secondly, people with this gift share the gospel by starting where the person is at and then leading them to Jesus. See, you know, I was witnessing with a brother one time. He was witnessing this guy. He said, "Now, brother," he said, "you have to understand that this process of justification will culminate in the process of sanctification, which will lead to your glorification." I said, "Look, man, I've been saved 5 years, and I didn't understand a word that you said." See, you know, you got to start where the person is at. You know, it might be on your job. Preach the gospel by all means necessary, and use words if possible. You might preach the gospel to them for 10 years before you say anything. Just living. Start where you're at. You know, we're not asking people to go out here and take Bibles and thump up people over the head and beat them down. Preach the gospel by all means necessary. And use words if possible. Somebody gonna catch that this morning. Somebody gonna catch that this morning. You can start right where you're at. In your family, just letting your light shine. Just living a life for Christ in your family, in your community, on your job. Start where you're at. Look what Philip did. Philip started where the man was at. Verse 30. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He started where the man was at. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he besought Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other?" And Philip started right where he was at. Philip took him right from where he was at. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And somehow they got back to Jesus. I love it. Somehow the conversation got back to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, that no matter where we start, at some point, it's got to get back to Jesus. Whether I said, preach the gospel by all means necessary, use words if possible, it's got to get back to Jesus. And he took him from where he was at, and he got back to Jesus. And the next thing is that the people with the gift of evangelism, they know how to present the gospel in a clear and concise manner. Verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" I'm going to get in trouble now. He didn't say what Reverend Wright said.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Evangelism from Psalm chapter 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Gift of Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gift of Evangelism, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.